Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text a brother on 045-714-0550, and otherwise, check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 98.7 FM. We're going across the nation. Thanks to NERS, I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, have a yarn with Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Want to hear what you're going to say, how you might be travelling in this world that we're living in at the moment, COVID-19, and the unknown chart of waters that we're travelling in. You know, need to keep safe and do what you need to do to keep safe, your mob. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Roxine Moore, Executive Officer, National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service, and talk about COVID-19 and incarceration with our mob. On the line, Roxine, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. How are you going?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, a lot of our mob, talk about our family who are incarcerated and want to know how they are being looked after in the space that we're living in. NATSL has released its policy statement on behalf of all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service, calling on Australian governments to take urgent changes to the justice system and to prevent COVID-19, black death in custody, and to stop the spread of COVID-19. So a very important space you're working in. So how are we travelling in this space?
Look, we're really worried about what's going to happen when COVID-19 hits prisons in full force. We've heard already a couple of reports about prison officers in Queensland and in New South Wales testing positive for COVID-19. What we've seen across the world is that when it gets into prisons, it's like a cruise ship. It just spreads like wildfire.
Yes.
It's a very contained environment. And what we're seeing is that governments are just responding with lockdown. But lockdown's not going to stop coronavirus. Decarceration is. So what we're really worried about is that given the high proportions of our mob who are incarcerated and that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been identified as most vulnerable to it, and we know that our people die in custody at far higher rates than non-Indigenous people.
Yes.
We just fear it's only a matter of time before there's a black death in custody due to COVID-19. And we want to make sure that governments are doing absolutely everything in their power to prevent that.
So you're Executive Officer of NATSL. Are you finding that government are doing everything they can to prevent that or to support or protect our prisoners?
No. What we're seeing is that governments are just putting prisons into lockdown. They're just stopping all family visits and face-to-face visits from legal services, etc. It's just absolute lockdown, and particularly concerning reports from Queensland where the lockdown is sounding very similar to solitary confinement, which is a real serious human rights breach, that people coming into prison aren't being let out of their cells only for 1 hour a day for weeks at a time. And we're also hearing that there's not even enough hygiene available in prison, so people don't have access to enough soap to wash their hands. Like, this is just basic stuff, and they're having to actually buy it themselves. So what we're asking for governments to do is follow the trend that we're seeing globally, where governments are making decisions that it's responsible to release people from prison as a way of containing COVID-19. So we've seen this happening in the United Kingdom, you know, Scotland, Ireland, Canada, the United States, Indonesia, and Germany as well. We're seeing that the release of thousands of prisoners in order to contain it, because we don't want a situation where it gets rife in prisons, sure, and then it's taking up hospital beds that are much needed, that we don't have enough of anyway. And worst case scenario, it ends up leading to black deaths in custody. And being in prison right now should not be a death sentence.
So are you requesting for the government to release prisoners? We're talking minor offences, yes?
So what we're talking about is the immediate release of First Nations people, with priority given to those who are most at risk. So we want our mob who are elderly, who have pre-existing chronic health issues, people with disability, mental health conditions. Mm. We want particularly young people and women who've experienced family violence, our mob who are inside on remand. So they haven't even been sentenced,
sure,
and they're sitting there and now their court hearings have been delayed. We want people who have been sentenced to 6 months or less, so they're those lesser type offences, and people who are eligible for early release as well. These are all the people we've identified that should be immediately released in order to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and make sure there are no black deaths in custody.
So have you put that across the table with government tables, and what's the response on that?
So we have put out our list of calls that we want to see change throughout the justice system, and everyone's got a role to play as well. So it's not just in prisons, it's police, it's the courts, it's governments. We need an approach where we're stopping people coming into the justice system during this time as well. So we want police to be putting a moratorium on arresting people for low-level offences during this time. They need to be looking at diversion and what they can do to keep people out of the system, because when prisons get overcrowded during this time, that's going to lead to just devastating consequences as well. So we've written to the Attorney General, to Minister Ken Wyatt. We've written to every state and territory Attorney General, Minister for Corrections and Commissioner for Corrections, asking for urgent meetings. We haven't had any serious responses so far to our calls, and the only state which has passed legislation to allow for people in prison to be released is New South Wales, and even there we're not really hearing what's happening with people being released, and we're really concerned that First Nations people aren't going to be prioritised in that process.
So I'm thinking that there's a bit of urgency that needs to take place in regarding government responding to you, because as you described earlier, the prisons are like a stationary ocean liner, and we don't want to make the same mistake that they made with the Ruby Princess in regard to our prisons.
Yep, our message is clear. The longer that governments wait to act on this, the worse it's going to be, and the more lives will be lost. And they need to be doing everything that they can to prevent a black death in custody from coronavirus.
So an opportunity for them to operate and to respond and act urgently, yes.
Absolutely. Like, we are all going to be better off when we're all healthy, especially the most vulnerable to coronavirus. And so that's why everyone has a role to play in this, including the police, the courts and the government, to do everything that they can. You know, where our mob are in prison or custody, police custody, we have to make sure that they've got access to custody notification services as well, because one of the big issues that we all know is that our mob's, you know, concerns about health and requests for medical care aren't always taken seriously, and that has led to a number of deaths in custody in the past. And so we're hearing that custody notification services aren't being able to have full access to for mob. So it's really important that people know their rights in this pandemic. They shouldn't be able to use COVID-19 as a reason from denying you access to custody notification services from Aboriginal legal services.
Sure.
And it's really important if our mob are in custody and they have flu-like symptoms that they're getting immediate and urgent medical treatment, and that includes widespread testing of COVID-19 in prisons, and making sure that our mob who have those symptoms are, you know, being hospitalised and getting the urgent medical care that they need.
Well, exactly, and it's the government's duty to keep Australians safe, and that's all Australians, and even our mob who are incarcerated. So they need to act and act on it fastly, because, like I said, it turns into a Ruby Princess, as I mentioned. Look, thank you for your information. A lot of work ahead, and a lot of questions that need to be answered, and a lot of responses need to be answered regarding to those questions. So thank you very much, Roxanne Moore, and all the best to you and your Deadly team, and you yourself stay safe, you and your family.
All right, thank you. You too, Trevor.
Bye, Roxanne.
Thanks.
Deadly Yarn there, Roxanne Moore, and the situation regarding COVID-19 and incarceration and all our mob who are incarcerated. And the conversation there with Roxanne Moore, the Executive Officer, National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service, queries and questions that they put across to government in regarding protecting mob who are incarcerated. And if they're not careful, the government, it turns into, like I said, a stationary ocean liner where the virus, COVID-19, if it gets in, it can just go like hellfire, and we need to prevent that from happening. Look, have you say, mob, add to the conversation, Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Yarn Up with the Bully Man, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, you know it, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. So give the Murray a call, 1-800-422-416.
There was a friend of mine on murder. The judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty. Gave him 16 years in hell. He said, I ain't spending my life here. I ain't living alone. Breaking the rocks on a chain gang. Breaking out, heading home. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. And I'm looking towards the sky. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. How I wish that I could fly. All in the name of liberty. They were racing. freedom. He was chasing spirits, dying. No use trying, but he made it out with a sheet around his neck.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, good morning, mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM, we go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Hope you're staying safe, you mob. Yarning up strong here on the First Nation radio station at Bumblebrit Media. Now, consumers are warned about scams involving the newly announced early release super measures. The Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees, AIST, is aware that the unscrupulous operators have already begun targeting super fund members and offering to assist them in taking up new early release super measures announced last Sunday. And the new measures are part of the government's coronavirus economic support package allow qualifying individuals suffering financial hardship to assess up to $10,000 of the superannuation in 2019-20 and further $10,000 in 2020-21. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn with AIST CEO Eva Shearlink on the line. Eva, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. We're living in uncharted waters, a world that's different to the norm, so to speak. But you still find so-called scammers out there, people who jump on the vulnerable. And here's a warning coming from Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees, which you're CEO of. So paint that picture, please, and the yuckiness of it.
Yeah, that's right. It's terrible, isn't it? And when people are suffering and, you know, the whole world is in crisis, some people choose to, you know, take that time to take advantage of vulnerable people,
yes,
especially people who are in financial difficulty. So we're really upset to see the practice, but, you know, we've got a role to play, I guess, in making sure that we educate people to watch out for it and to avoid getting caught up.
So what's the process from the Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustee? How does a super fund organisation approach their clients? Do you know the process as such? What we need to look at?
Your superannuation fund will not approach you.
Okay.
So if you get a call from somebody saying that they're from your super fund, they're not.
Straight up, they're not. It's up to you to ring them, isn't it?
That's right. So unless you have put in a claim for early release
okay.
through the MyGov website, then once the claim has been put in, then your super fund may call you just to verify your bank account details or your ID to make sure that, you know, you're eligible for the payment. But anyone that's ringing you up before this scheme is even available to say that they are from your super fund and will help you access your early release, that's not the way it works. The only way you can apply for your superannuation early through this new government mechanism is through the ATO's MyGov site.
Okay, so if you didn't put in an application to get funding from your superannuation, you should not get no phone calls from your super fund.
That's correct.
Well, there it is. If you just run by that rule, then you should be fine. But if someone calls you, alarm bells should be going off, yes?
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, this is a tricky time for people, obviously, and some people are doing it really tough financially, and it's horrible that people are being preyed upon like this. There's two things, I guess, that's happening. One is outright fraud, people trying to access your super and run away with your money.
Yep.
Or the other, offering to give you a service which is unnecessary, that they'll charge you a fee for, when really anyone can go through this process themselves through the MyGov website.
But if you're dealing with your super fund, really there's no fees, is there?
There is no fees.
Yeah.
That's right.
So someone's talking about fees and straight away alarm bells there again. So, look, a very important space and attacking the vulnerable, because sometimes we're in this situation that we're in, the world we're living in at the moment, we're not thinking right, are we? So we don't know the so-called rules of engagement and what's going on, because so many rules are changing at the moment. So hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, either there it is. If then the super fund shouldn't be contacting you unless you've made contact first.
That's correct.
Oh, fantastic. Now, what about your area, Indigenous Super Working Fund, Working Group? You've got a working group there, is that right?
Yes, we do. We've been, since about 2013, the industry's been working together with government agencies and particularly, I guess, in the Indigenous financial counsellors.
Yes.
In order to try and work on, how Indigenous people can access their super and have a better experience.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we were supposed to have a conference in Darwin.
This bloody virus ruins everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, this virus kills everything. Yeah.
So it was in this space, was it, about the Indigenous super working group? Yes.
That's right. We were going to get together. The industry was with about 40 of the Indigenous financial counsellors to talk about what some of the problems were that were experienced by mob in relation to their superannuation, to try and continue to help fix and improve the experience.
And look, hats off to you as a national organisation to have Indigenous workers in this space, because a lot of our mob are naive to how it all works. And as we always say, nothing better than black on black. So this is a fantastic move by the Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees.
It's going to take some time, I think. As you said, it's very complicated out there. The world, the financial world, and superannuation can be too.
All right.
And it was designed for people that work in, offices in cities.
Sure.
So we've got a bit of work to do.
And look, beginning's half done, so that's fantastic. And it's about bit by bit we can get financially intelligent, which is the world we live in regarding finance. So love the space you're working in. Eva, thank you very much for your yarn. All the best to you and your team. I believe you're working from home.
Yes, I am.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
good girl. And thank you for your yarn and all the best to you and your family as well. Eva, you take care and stay safe, sister.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. You too and all your listeners as well, hey?
Okay, bye-bye, Eva.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there with Eva Shearlink. She's the CEO of Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees. And talking about, virtually warning to all our mob out there about scammers. Scams are involving the newly announced early release super measures. So the Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees, AIST, is aware that unscrupulous operators have already begun targeting super fund members and offering to assist them in taking up new early release super measures announced last Sunday. So the message is from the Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees. A super fund should not ever be contacting you regarding helping you support for you to get access to your superannuation. And if that is the case, they should not be offering asking for a fee, that there's a fee that you have to pay for their services. That doesn't exist. So in actual fact, the other thing you need to keep in mind, if you don't put in an application to your super fund regarding getting access to your superannuation, you should not ever get a phone call from the super fund as such. So there it is. So if a super fund or a person calls you and wants to talk to you about your super fund, in actual fact, alarm bells should be going off. So there it is. So be careful, and if not, make the phone call to your super fund to query it. Don't give out any details. Don't give out your bank details or anything to that effect, and get in touch with your super fund. So there it is. Stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarnin with the Bully. I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're going across the nation thanks to NIRS. That's NIRS. That deadly number again, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly. And Sydney.
has come a long way. We've all left our signature. A hotter sun is setting now on the old way. The dawn of a brave new century. Old man of southern oceans, wipe those tears away. Great land of southern oceans, the kids will show the way. The early nomads loved the land that they walked on, but the secret garden disappeared. We all came living for now, not the long run. The signs were there but never read. Oh man of southern oceans, wipe those tears away. Southern oceans, the kids will show the way. Children of today, you hold the power in your hands. Tomorrow's children have a right to sing with the old man.
Yeah, old man, I'm not that old. Murray 54, have your say. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrit Media, 19.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly, going to catch up now with Michelle from WA, my sister. Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, good, brother boy, how are you?
I'm well. You staying safe?
Yeah, staying safe, absolutely. Staying, trying our best to stay safe. And yes. Can I say 50 is the new nifties?
There you go.
Anyone who talks, says we're getting old. No, we're just getting nifty.
There you go. I love it.
Listen, brother boy, we had an incident yesterday. Whilst I adore the public service and our frontline service line, I had an unfortunate mishap yesterday where my granddaughter was taking her sister for her mental health appointment, and on the way back they just pulled into my driveway. Well, of course, these wonderful policemen took an opportunity to put the red lights on and make a, draw a lot of attention to them. And advised them that the vehicle that they were driving was unregistered, and unbeknown to my granddaughter, whose father just flew out that morning, yesterday morning, he's a FIFO fly-in. And, she explained the situation to the police. They were reluctant to be sympathetic to her
situation.
She was just enduring. And I tried to intervene and say, look, you know, her mum passed away about a year and a half ago. I just lost my son back in October. I said, we're still going through sorry business. And I said, all she did was just took her baby sister down, who's not comprehending with losing her mum, which is, you know, the norm of any young kids. And she was adamant about giving out a $250 fine. Now, you know, I said to her, you want to give out a $250 fine to generate revenue for the government, and here's the government saying, you know, they understand that people who are on Centrelink payments and all these incentive payments to assist our low-income earners to survive. And then you have idiots like this that are willy-nilly going out and just targeting and giving out fines left, right and centre, and I thought, well, you contradicted the service. But importantly, you just drawn attention to yourself that, everything that the government has mentioned, you've totally gone against the, the statements around supporting low-income earners. Now, how is this young girl supposed to pay a $250 fine when, she could have been, she was human enough, she would have just given her a warning, that would have been a learning curve for her.
Look, I second that, my sister. I second that because the fact that no one's above the law, but police officers are still in a position of listening to the story and understanding it and what have you, and sometimes just waver it. So you said, okay, well, there's the warning. Make sure the car stays at home now. The car doesn't leave this place, premises, until it's registered again, But you now have to look at plan B and getting your sister to her next appointment as such, and communicate that way with what's going on in the world, give us a bit of leeway there, I'm hearing your pain there, and it's extravagant, isn't it?
Oh, well, she had the audacity to say, well, look, I won't put it in her name, but I'll put it in her dad's name. And I thought, well, you're still not getting the point. But I said, do your job. If that makes you satisfied and you've achieved an outcome for today, I said, you go ahead and give the ticket. I said, but shame on you. Shame on the force. And I'll be writing a letter to our police commissioner and just saying to him, look, whilst we're supposed to be applauding our frontline services, this is what's happening. And this is what our community is experiencing behind closed doors. So, you need to have a chat with them about, what's deemed essential and what's deemed not essential.
Exactly.
And in my case, money revenue at this time is not essential to these low-income earners who are, trying to make ends meet as it is. So, very sad state of affairs, brother boy.
It is, my sister. And if you look at it, it's a minor affair, And then with the COVID-19 here upon us, they still got to do their job in police. But that can push to the side and focus in on making sure the people are, staying at home and staying away, at 1.5 metres, whatever the case may be. Focus in on that. And plus, desperate people out there doing some desperate things. So we're talking about crime that's lifting as well because of that. So we'll focus on that then unregistered car with a young lady taking her sister to an appointment, and that's essential
that's
but not
essential.
Knowing that the car wasn't essential. Registered but now I know, thank you, won't happen again, a slap on the wrist and we move on,
exactly. And I did try to negotiate, but she just wasn't in the position to compromise, and I thought you nasty piece of work, obviously you have no humane empathy towards people who are enduring mental health issues and people who are struggling in today's society. So I said, enjoy your day and hope you get more people in these same conditions, because obviously that's your contentment for the day and that's your ambition for the day.
I will say, the police are there to protect and serve and also to make sure that people adhere to the laws that are in place. The car wasn't registered, we've had, and police officers probably will not admit this, but in my years, I've been let go because of a busted tail light or whatever it goes to me, fix it up then, brother, that's fine, I'll get that done, whatever, So there's one that they could have let go, they will not admit to it because that's their job to put the law in place and make sure people abide by it. We're all humans, and if the officer feels we're talking about individuals, we're talking about human beings. If the officer had a fight with his other half and then he's going to work there while he's going to book you, so to speak, look at Donald Trump and the way he operates, sort of thing, So there it is, my sister. They could have wavered that, and I'm feeling for you.
Very
and
selective.
All the best to you, my sister.
Yeah. All right. You take care, brother boy, and I hope the mob over that side are keeping safe.
We are, Michelle. Yeah. You take care, sister.
All right then. You too.
Bye bye. a deadly yarn there. Sad yarn, but there it is. What's happening out there across the nation? You can have your say out to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry for your deadly program. You know it, National Talk Black. And we're housed at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Radio Service. And I want to hear what you've got to say. 1-800-422-416.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hollow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by.
Yeah, in the sweet by and by, Darren Percival here on your deadly program, National Talk Black. Have your say, you mob. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trevor Murray from Nakari, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, means we go across the country for your deadly program. You know it, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Now, Disability Peaks welcome federal government's recognition and support for people with disability in handling coronavirus. We have Damien Griffiths on the line, CEO First People and Disability Networks Australia. Damien, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
Very good, brother. Very good. Thank you for calling. Where are you based?
We're based in Sydney, but we do have staff in southeast Queensland. We're only small, and we've got a couple of staff in Adelaide too, so...
Fantastic. Look, a very important space, and we're talking about a world that's upside down at the moment, COVID-19, and you know, vulnerable people. And look, disability people are the people who are in that bracket, so to speak. And it's great that you're doing work there. And you're welcoming the federal government's recognition support for people with disability in handling coronavirus, yes?
We do, but we think there's still a lot more to do, Trevor.
Of course.
As you would know, our mob with disability is some of the most vulnerable of all Australians, really, because they face disadvantage based on disability and also Aboriginality. So in a lot of ways, we say that our people with disability are very vulnerable to the coronavirus. And whilst we welcome some of the initiatives by the government, we think that there needs to be more to be done, for sure.
Sure, fantastic. And look, anything that comes our way that supports and helps hand up, so to speak, is welcome, as you stated. But there are a lot of work still to be done in this space. And are you still communicating with government in regarding more support?
Yeah, we are. So just been appointed to a couple of committees. One's focused on a response for coronavirus around all Australians with disability, and also another one, a Department of Health one. What we're really keen to do, Trevor, is just hear from people on the ground how things are going. One of the things that we are hearing about is a lack of supplies in some parts of the country. So, and what I mean by that is not just food and stuff. I also mean medical supplies and supplies, especially for our people with disabilities. So sometimes they can be anything from, I don't know, incontinence pads to Panadol, you know what I mean?
Sure,
so we just need to get a better understanding, and if people are struggling at all, then please get in touch with us. We'd be really keen to try and help.
And try and help, but also that then becomes evidence of the situation that disabled people are in, and that gives more, hey, say, meat on the bone regarding conversation with government, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're very concerned about the issue of supplies, and we also want to make sure that people are understanding, our people with disability are understanding what this virus is, and those simple messages around, you know, washing your hands and social distancing. Now, social distancing can be very, very difficult for people with disability, especially if they need support. So we really need to get everyone to understand, and government especially, that things might need to look a little bit different in terms of responding to the virus for our people with disability.
Yeah, big time. And you did, yeah, that is so true. I mean, the thought of, well, supporting physically a person when we're talking about 1.5 metres, well, that's non-existent when we're talking about disabled, yes?
That's exactly right. I mean, people need physical support often. So in those instances, we need to make sure that people know how to maintain good personal hygiene and how to be safe. But we also want to be sure that communities are getting access to what's called protective equipment. So sometimes when you support a person with disability, as you're just saying, Trevor, it can be quite physical, the support you have to provide. You know, you might be helping someone in and out of a wheelchair, for example.
Yes.
So there's a lot of equipment that's supposed to be available for our people, and I'm not sure it's getting out there. So I'd be really keen to hear from people if they're not getting access to equipment.
Damon, the other thing that comes to mind is also some of the people, vulnerable people out there, disabled people, they also have carers looking after them as well. So that should come into frame of thing as well.
That's exactly right. We need to look out for them too and make sure that they are safe. So there's a lot to think about in terms of people with disability, our people with disability and the virus. So if you're not sure about anything, we do have some good communication resources we've developed. They are on our website, and I realise not everyone can access the website, but there's some good stuff on there. We've made some short films which talk about things that you can do and stuff.
And what's your webpage there, please, Damien?
Yeah, it's www.fpdn, so that stands for First People's Disability Network.org.au.
Yes.
And we've got a special page on the coronavirus there. So,
beautiful.
And on there you'll find our email and phone number and all that sort of stuff. So very keen to hear from people if they're not sure what's going on.
Love your work. Thank you very much, Damien. All the best to you and your deadly team. Look, stay safe and your family as well, my brother.
Same to you, Trevor. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you, brother. Bye.
Bye. A deadly yarn there. Damien Griffiths, his name is, CEO of First People's Disability Networks Australia, and they're very happy to welcome the federal government's recognition and support for people with disability in handling coronavirus. But still a lot more work to be done. And to all our mob out there, if you're feeling that way inclined, then get in touch with First People's Disability Network and have that communication, have that conversation, and also tell them about what you need and what you're going through. And that helps in regarding their not so much argument, well, you could be sometimes, but in regard to their communication with the government. So there it is. Have you say you want? We've got about 8 minutes left on the program, spinning a yarn here on National Talk Black. And for you local mob, stay tuned. Trendy Trevor will take you right through to 1 o'clock with the special COVID-19 program. So stay tuned to that. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Saltwater Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to go to Selwyn. You there, brother? Good morning.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. Yeah, I listened to the news last night about Chinese were being attacked and graffiti. I think one girl got abused. Graffiti attack.
Racism.
I reckon, brother, you know, like, they're like us, you know, but Asians, they all look alike.
All those Murrays look alike, you reckon?
But anyway, brother, on racism, you know, like for those who don't think there's any racism in this country, you had Gavin King on, brother, before. He used to be a journalist. And I'm not centering just around Gavin King, but in a way I agree with him. What he said, it endorses what the police said. You know about the young girls when they leave the white girls when they leave whenever they go dance or disco, whatever they do. They leave late at night and early hours of the morning and they're drunk. And it's like as if they were asking for it. And a lot of the women group were angry about that, and likely so. And there was those Indians down in Melbourne that got attacked.
Yes.
And the old man was the main bully in the copper down there. I think he was in Chinese. I'm not too sure, but I think he said, he sort of said, what more do you expect? You walk around with a laptop and briefcase and mobile phone and gold watches. What more do you expect? You know, you sort of bring it on yourself. And also, there was a movie that came out, Jodie Foster, it was called Accused. And in it, she was pack rape. And it was like, as if they were saying, oh, you asked for it. You like women when they're dressed the way they want to dress. You asked for it. But that all happened, brother. And there was no outrage as much as it was for Sheikh Al-Layli, brother, the Muslim bloke. He said the same thing. He said, but meat uncovered, you know? And he was saying the same thing, but they didn't attack the other three comments, especially the two. Because I feel that way, too. Like, I get that way. Like, some people, like, you know, they ask for, not necessarily with women, but some cheeky fellows when they undergo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, you know, like others in the group might say, oh, go educate him, go sit him on his ass. They deserve it. But nobody deserves it. But to show how racist this country was, I'm thinking, Sheikh Hilali, he said the same thing. It's like meat uncovered. But I didn't watch the movie, The Accused, but I think it sort of set, go to all the court system, and she, you know, she dressed the way how her behavior was, but women were saying, you know, well, they don't ask for it. And on that last one, brother, on Michelle, I enjoy what you said to Michelle, and Michelle, you know, but there's a paper, there's an article too about Miss Clark that lost her three children when the man, domestic violence, burnt in that. But they talked about the other Miss Clark, Joyce Clark, that got shot over there in WA, and they talked about Alison Baden Clay. They forgot about my little granny, Uppy Alison Bernard, that still missing up here at Archie River. But, you know, WA, the place where John Pack, the first, I think it was him, but kept off the death in custody, and Mr. Ward, you know, and that's the place. You think they'd be more apologetic, and I like what you said there, brother, they'd be more humane. You know, use the, like Michelle said, use the humanity. I like saying this, Michelle, if every good thought is a prayer, I prayed for you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Beautiful words. That's us all on their regular caller here in Daily Program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. You can see all our podcasts, all our photos, all our yarns. And look, do stay connected, you mob. But otherwise, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and very importantly, stay safe. We'll be back in the hot seat again tomorrow. And for our local mob, stay tuned. Trinity Travel will take you right through to 1 p.m. Too deadly. 1-800-422-416.
Have you ever tried to quit the smokes? For most of us, it's not a one-time thing. It's a journey where you quit and you quit again. And you think, every dollar I spend on cigarettes, I could be spending on something better. Or, my health improves the minute I quit. Visit Quit HQ to get all the tools to start your journey. Quit today. For you and for your family. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Not enough.